Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. The word of the Lord. A Sunday school teacher had just finished telling her third grade students about how Jesus was crucified and placed in a tomb with a great stone rolled before it, sealing the opening. And then, wanting to share the excitement of the resurrection, she asked this question: and what do you think were Jesus' first words when he came bursting out of that tomb alive? And a hand shot up in the air from the rear of the classroom, and attached to it was the arm of a little girl. And leaping out of her chair, she shouted excitedly, "I know, I know." "And good," said the teacher. "Tell us, what were Jesus' first words?" And extending her arms high in the air, she said, "Ta-da!" Well, we don't know if that's really what he said. It's not recorded, but this little girl was excited about it. And many preachers have told the story of the excited little girl over the years, and for good reason. Considering it, ask yourself, how often do you get excited for the resurrection? How often? Even more, is the resurrection something you ever even think about? Or is it only on Easter that you give it a moment's thought? For many, at least in the States, there is more emphasis put on the Easter bunny than the resurrection on Easter. So children, rather than getting excited over the resurrection, get excited over Easter baskets, Easter eggs, and Easter candy. And while maybe considering the resurrection on Easter, even Christians can get caught up in the busyness of life and not think about the resurrection except upon this holiday. But the Scriptures teach us that the resurrection is to impact our whole lives. And it's to impact it in a profound way. And it should do so every moment of every day. Well, how so? First, we need to consider that, well, all of us are going to die one day. I mean, it's just the way things are, unless Christ returns first. And just in the past few years, you hear at MPC have mourned the passing of beloved members, friends, and loved ones. And it is as a friend of mine who had just recently lost his wife, told me in his grief. As he sees it, death is just part of life. We will all die one day. However, Christ has removed the sting of death. Although we may die in this physical body, we do not have to be uneasy about death. Christ has conquered death in his resurrection. So the question posed in 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Believers in Jesus Christ have victory in Christ over death. As Jesus said in John 11:25-26 to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Believe in him and partake in his resurrection. As a believer in Christ, death no longer has the victory over you. Rather, you have the victory over death, because in the end, you will live. And this is our hope. For those who are getting a little older, death is something one must come to grips with, knowing it can't be held off indefinitely. For those who are sick or who have loved ones who are sick, knowing that death may come soon, this is the hope that sustains us. Even for those who are young and full of life, death is not far away. Car accidents or other such things that kill are just a slip away. And every time we step foot outside our front door, we do so at the risk of death. There's even a risk of death in the safety of our own homes. And despite this, God is with us. He watches over us. His hand guards us, protects us. Yet sometimes he calls us home and we die. Are you prepared for death? Being prepared for death, we have confidence in the Lord to do what he said that he would do. He's already proven that he has the power over death. Now it's just a matter of trusting him to be faithful to his word and give you eternal life in Christ. And in our hope, we live. Because Jesus arose, we must trust in him. So, is that all that the resurrection is really about? Something that only concerns us when we die? Well, it seems that this is the perspective of many people. Having gotten their ticket punched for heaven, they put it in their pocket and they save it for when they need to pull it out for admission. And perhaps this is even your perspective. But the scriptures tell us that Christ's resurrection impacts us not only when we die, but every single minute of every day. And take a look at verse 3 through 5 in Romans 6 here. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And on Friday, on Good Friday, we met here. We read through the crucifixion and burial passages of the Gospels. We sang great hymns of the cross. And at the end of the service, we all sang together, Were you there? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Y'all know the song. And now it's going to go through your head all day. So, you know, but yeah. Well, here in Romans, in answer to that question, we see that indeed we were there when Christ was crucified. We were there. That is, if you are a Christian. As believers, we are in union with Christ. And in this union, we died and were buried with Him. So what does that mean, to be in union with Christ? And what does it mean that we are in union with Him as part of an event that occurred almost 2,000 years ago? How can that be? Well, it's something that takes place in conjunction with our baptism. Baptism with water, the Christian sacrament ordained by Christ, is an outward sign and seal of an inward reality. It signifies and seals the reality of our being united with Christ, which occurs when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our conversion experience. Ephesians 1:13 explains the baptism of the Holy Spirit like this. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So, in baptism, we are united with Christ, identified with Him in a very real way. In His death, His burial, His resurrection, and new life. The significance of these events are applied to us in our union with Christ through the Spirit of God. Now let's look at verses 6 through 11. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we had died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin, once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' death and His burial, our sinful selves were crucified with Him. The penalty that we deserved, we received at His crucifixion in our union with Him. Let me say that again, the concept. In Jesus' death and burial, our sinful selves were crucified with Him. And the penalty that we deserved, we received at His crucifixion in our union with Him. He took the actual punishment, and we receive the actual benefits. And the penalty for our sins was paid. God's wrath was satisfied on Jesus, on that cross. And it is in the resurrection, the new life of Christ, that we now live. In union with Him, we were resurrected to new life. As He lives to God, so also we are alive with Him. We are now dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. Sin is no longer our master. Rather, Jesus is Lord. And so we say with Paul in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Romans 6:11 calls such a life as alive to God. And verse 12 through 14 elaborates on this life. Let's take a look. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. and our union with Christ, it is morally inconsistent to think that we can continue on living a sinful life like a slave to sin. Under grace, we have been powered by the realities of the new age that were brought in Christ as citizens of His kingdom. We have the Spirit of God, as Ephesians 1:13 says, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." And the Spirit empowers us to live for God. Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." With God's Spirit, we are enabled to live a life that is pleasing to God. And it is possible to succeed at this because the Spirit of God empowers us to do so. And so we offer ourselves to God as instruments of righteousness, seeking to glorify God. In our everyday life and actions, we live to God. And this is a characteristic of one who is saved by grace through faith in Christ, a Christian, a disciple of Christ. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "Only he who believes is obedient, and only he who is obedient believes." So how do we live accordingly? And what does this look like? I mean, clearly, a comprehensive discussion on how we live as instruments of righteousness is far beyond what this one Easter sermon can cover. And this is a reason why we come to church every Sunday, as sermon after sermon, Sunday after Sunday, instills such knowledge in us towards obedience of faith. In a nutshell, living to God is a life lived in obedience of faith. It is a life totally surrendered to Christ, one lived in denial of self, carrying one's cross and following Jesus. Mark 8:38. It involves love, as Jesus told us in Matthew 22:37-39. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." In our love for God, we confront our idols and deny them for Christ. We offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God as our spiritual act of worship, Romans 12:1. We regularly worship with the body of Christ, but we also worship throughout each day, moment by moment. We worship. We meditate on God's Word daily. We live every day in prayer and repentance, walking with Christ, following Him as His disciple. We watch for, recognize, and resist sin. And the fruit of the Spirit is ours: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. In our love for our neighbor, we live unselfishly, putting others before ourselves, living lives of humble service. We are not burdened by pride, pretense, or artificiality. We forgive others their sins against us, and we confess Christ before the world so that they might believe and be saved. We are salt and light. Such is a Christian. Such is a disciple of Christ. Such is a child of God redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In our union with Christ, through the Spirit, we act consistently with our very nature. It's the very nature of our being. And He empowers us. We live in Christ, resurrected and eternal. And so you see, when you live to God, as instruments of righteousness. Every action of every day is affected. Your lives honor the very God who gave His Son for you and who resurrected Him from the dead. Because Jesus arose, we must live every day to God. Considering these things, how can one really focus on the Easter Bunny on Easter? I mean, our focus can only be on Christ. In Him we have hope of resurrection after we die. Life eternal. In Him we now live united with Him in His resurrection and life. We live as instruments of righteousness. We have been freed from the slavery of sin and live now to God. Rejoice! He is risen!
He is risen!
He is risen!
He is risen!
He is risen.
And
so are we. Because Jesus arose, we must participate in His life.